I know we don't see the sign anymore, or as often at sports events when people hold up that sign, you know, John 3:16. Well, today we hear from John 3:16-21. And it said something that we all know, that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world, so that those who believe in him might not perish. A clarification. It must be understood when the Lord says the world in this context, he is not talking about the earth or the life, the earthly life that we have created for ourselves here. He's not talking about that, because we all know that the world is coming to an end. I mean, he himself says that there will be the end of time, the end of the world, when I will return. So Jesus did not come to save the earth for us or to save this life for us. And even science tells us that this world, this earth, this life is all coming to an end. I mean, we rely on the sun. The sun, we know, is a dying star. As soon as it dies, no more life on earth. Albeit, it'll take billions of years for it to happen. But the point is that the earth is not going to have life here forever. There will be an end to it. Did you see lately that the James Webb satellite, the most powerful satellite that NASA has developed, sent into space to look into the edge of the universe? I mean, you talk about astronomy, right? Astronomical stuff here. We're talking about our galaxy has billions of stars, and there are billions of galaxies, right? I mean, it's just unbelievable. So the James Webb satellite is looking at the edge of the universe, and it reports to us that everything in the universe is speeding toward a point. In the past, astronomers believe that the universe is expanding, meaning it's going out this way, right? Everything is going outward at a very fast pace. I mean, again, astronomical number, you know. But now what they see is not going outward, but all going to the edge of the universe. There is something, they don't know what it is, whatever that is. Remember, the concept of a black hole is that it sucks in everything around it. You know, the gravitational force is so strong that nothing can survive. It sucks into it. So, but the black hole is only a star in a galaxy. This thing is sucking in the whole universe. The whole universe is speeding toward this point at the edge of the universe. Astronomers have no name for it. All they can say it is that we are going toward that thing. And the point here is that even the universe, as astronomically vast as it is, is going to come to an end. Whatever that thing is, sucking it in. So the Lord Jesus has not come into the world to save the world, the physical earth, the physical galaxy, the physical universe, because it's all coming to an end. When the scripture tells us that we hear today, it's powerful, John 3:16, right? That God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world so that those who believe in him may not perish. Well, because we are perishing, right? So when it says that, it's talking about the humans in the world. So Jesus, the Son of God, was sent by the Father to the world in order to save us, the humans, from the world that is doomed. The universe is doomed. And God has sent His Son to it in order to save us from it. So that now, that's why it says, you know, He did not come to condemn the world, us. Those who don't believe in Him is already condemned, because we, without Jesus, is doomed living in this ending universe. Everything is coming to an end. And of course, for us, it's much sooner than that. I mean, the universe is coming to an end in billions of years. But for us, it ends when our life ends. And that's why for a long time before God, before Jesus, people have this view of life, right? Life sucks. I'm born into this life. I work hard. I suffer a lot. I toil. I build. And then I die, and the end. I mean, that's the reality of this doomed physical universe. But then we have Jesus, God, who is outside of the universe, enter into this world in order to save us from this doomed existence. Because He loves us. So I want to, for us to think about this love of God for a moment, that when God says, I love you, He doesn't just stay up there in heaven and says, I love you. He comes down from outside of the universe into our time and space in order to suffer and die on the cross so that to save us. So I want to point out to you that the word love, every time you see that in Scripture, you can substitute that word love for sacrifice. Because nowadays we think of love, we tend to think of what? A very strong emotion, which is part of love, obviously. We think of our heart beat fast, and we, you know, emotion runs high, this attraction, and you know, all of those things are part of a very small part of love. But when the Scripture says love, it's talking about making the sacrifice for the beloved. If I love someone, I will give up myself sacrificially for that someone whom I love. And God shows us how to love by not sitting up there in the heavens, but He comes down, suffered and died, give of Himself to us. And that's how He loves us. So this is love. God loves us so much that He does something about it, that He saves us from this doomed existence. But it is obvious to us that we have to accept that love. We have to receive that love. And the nature of love is when you receive, accept love, what happens? You love back. Okay? When we accept love, we love back. That means in order for us to not be doomed by the doomed existence here, everything is coming to an end, we have to love God in return. And to love God is to make sacrifices in our lives for God. And this is where Lent comes in. Because my brothers and sisters, if we are honest to ourselves, think, what sacrifices have I made for God? What sacrifices have I made because I love God? I mean, everybody can say, I love God. But love is sacrifice. An example of this would be the money counters call me into the room where they're counting the money collected from Mass. There was an envelope. There's a check for $10 and a little note that says, don't cash this check until Wednesday, whatever date. I don't have money until then. It is obvious that that individual is living day by day. She doesn't have money. She's waiting on that, whatever, that Social Security check or her retirement check or whatever that is. She doesn't have money. And yet, she made the sacrifice to give to the church $10. What kind of sacrifices are we making for God? Because it's not enough to say, I love God. That's not love. Just that, it's just a word. I have many couples that I'm preparing for marriage here in our parish at Holy Family. Some of them are maybe here. And when we fill out the papers the first time we meet, they will have to fill out where they live. And many of the couples are living together, having the same address. And I would explain to them, no, no, no. If you want to get married at Holy Family, you cannot live together as if you were already husband and wife when you are not yet husband and wife. And I said to them, but living together, sharing a same house in and of itself is not a sin. It's having sexual relationship that is sinful. So you're going to have to do something about this. Do you have an extra room? Some of them said, yes, Father. I said, then, gentlemen, you move out to that room. Some of them say, we don't have an extra room. You have a couch? Yes. You go out to the couch. And so that's how they are preparing themselves to be married before God here at Holy Family. A lot of young men in our parish are sleeping on couches. And that, my brothers and sisters, is making the sacrifice. That's love. You see what I mean? That's love. Whatever they did before, when they're not husband and wife yet, and pretend like they're husband and wife, having sexual relationship, that wasn't love. That was something else. Now the guy's sleeping on the couch. That's love. Until they are married. What sacrifices are we making, my brothers and sisters, out of love for God? Because God loves us, and He made the ultimate sacrifice. Father Patrick in our parish is a Nigerian, you know, and he just went home once again a month back. He gets to go home once a year to Nigeria, and I think we all know that Nigeria is a very unstable situation for Catholics, because the majority are Muslims, and there's of course this core Muslim extremists that want to get rid of all Christians in Nigeria, so that constantly, every day throughout the country of Nigeria, there are Catholics who are kidnapped, Catholics who are murdered, Catholics who are imprisoned, priests and nuns who are kidnapped and imprisoned. I mean, the persecution is real. And when you go to church on Sunday, you don't know if it was going to be this Sunday or next Sunday or the Sunday after, that a madman will run into your church with a machete and hack you in half. You don't know. Or you don't know when you go to church this Sunday and there's a bomb that's going to blow you up. You don't know. That's the reality in Nigeria. And I asked Father Patrick, I said, well, does that mean that the church is empty because people are staying home? Because it's so scary. It's so unpredictable. And he said to me, Father, the churches are packed. And he said, you know, we Africans, when we do masses, we're not quiet like here. We dance and sing and everybody knows that we're there. We become targets for crazy people to do whatever they want because they hate Catholics there in Nigeria. My brothers and sisters, those Catholics who fill their churches every Sunday in the face of this danger, real danger, they're making some kind of sacrifices, aren't they? And then we look at us and we go, you know, we don't have any sort of that hardship, and how hard is it for us to drag ourselves to Mass on Sunday? And then we behave as if we are doing God a favor by dragging ourselves here and be at Mass for that 1 hour on Sunday. So as we listen to the gospel today and hear of God's love for us, I think all of us agree that there's no need really for God to prove that he loves us anymore because of what he had already done in his son Jesus Christ on the cross. God's love is not in question here. It is our love for God that is in question. None of us can doubt that God loves us. The question is, do we love God? The question for the rest of this Lent is, do I love God? And remember, it's not just a word. Am I, in my life, sacrificing something for God? Am I? And so as we celebrate the Eucharist today, let us ask God to give us this, because love, as you can see, love requires a lot of courage. A lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to say, I don't have money, but the church can have 10 bucks. I don't know when my next money is coming, but I'm going to give the church $10. It takes a lot of courage to say, that woman in there, I love her. I'm sexually attracted to her, but I'm sleeping on the couch. Can't touch her. So that's a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to say, if I go to church, I may die today. What are we doing, my brothers and sisters? How are we loving God? And when are we going to start loving God?